Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Let's say you are on the path of fulfilling your career aspirations. You would say that you're at a good place in life. There's stability, you're doing what you were trained to do, and you do it very well. You love it. Suddenly something happens that requires change. And oh, if you would only know what that change would bring. But then God is in it. And as you see God's hand moving about in the situation, your heart is filled with a flutter of excitement because you know that God is opening new doors for you in a new season of life. If you've ever been there, or you feel like you might be close to being there, or wish that you were there at this particular time in your life, you will relate with our guest today as she shares heart to heart about navigating through changes and seeing the hand of God lead you through. That's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio program is to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ, because it's in Christ where we enter into a relationship with God. Through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, by putting our trust in the finished work of Christ, we receive God's forgiveness. And we can know what it means experientially, relationally, what it's like to walk with God, the living God who leads and guides us in our lives, even today. My friend, even right now. Wendy Oshiro never attended church or knew about Jesus. But the Lord spoke to her heart one day, and 3 months later, on Easter Sunday in 1991, she made the decision to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. She was baptized at First Baptist Church of Pearl City. She now attends Olivet Baptist Church with her husband Darren and their two children. She graduated from Aiea High School and earned a bachelor's degree in education in secondary mathematics from the University of Hawaii. She's taught at Mililani High School and Hawaii Baptist Academy. She's now the branch manager of Open Mortgage LLC in Honolulu and is active in various organizations, including Rotary Club and the Mortgage Bankers Association. Their two children, Wendy and Darren, their two children are Peyton and Paige. Wendy, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you very much, Danny. Glad to be here.
So, you went to Aiea High School. Is it safe to assume that you grew up there in Aiea, in that area, Halawa?
Since the fourth grade, that's where we moved to. But before then, I grew up in Kapahulu.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. The other side.
Yeah, on the other side. So,
what was it like for you growing up in the Aiea area?
Well, you can ask my friends, but they all think I'm tita. They think I'm pretty tough, but you know, it was challenging for me because I had to move during the fourth grade. I had to make new friends, and I was the youngest of four children. So my parents, I think, were tired by the time I came along, and they let me kind of grow up on my own. So I spent a lot of my time observing other people, my peers, and trying to find out who I was through the youth culture. And, you know, what I came away with was messages about popularity and messages that really were lies, I think, that I believed in. You know, I believed in status, and you had to have money, and you needed to have be in the right group, you know, to be valued. And so growing up, that was my belief in everything. And I always had to position myself to be, well, the position I was in had to be advantageous for me to fulfill my goals of making myself more important or more valuable. So I spent a lot of energy, I think, growing up thinking that way, not realizing that there was a God who had created me with great intention and purpose, and that I really was valuable and important just because he made me, you know? Yeah. So I spent most of my life trying to earn that.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
I would say, you know, I had a lot of really good people in my life, good teachers and, you know, friends that were just had great character. But you know what's funny? I never gravitated towards those people because they didn't fulfill my goals. But I would say that my mom, she and I, we really I gave her a lot of grief growing up. I was a very rebellious child, and I didn't want to listen to her because she was a Christian. And she would always tell me I was doing things wrong and, you know, that I should do this or that, and it was always in terms of being a Christian, and that's all I heard. It was just, she's different from me, and that's not what I want, because it's not getting me what I need. It's just getting me into trouble, basically. And so my mom prayed for me. I know that she prayed. She was a praying woman, and she spent a lot of her day reading the Bible and in prayer, and I know she prayed for me during those times where I was just the most difficult person in the world, I believe. I think you know, for a mother, now that I'm a mom, I know how important it is for me to pray for my children. And I the desire to have them know Christ, you know, I know that was in my mom, and she was praying for me. And so, you know, it took a while, but I would say when I graduated from college, that's when I found the Lord, you know.
How did that happen?
Let's see, like I told you, I spent so much energy trying to build myself up.
So this is even through college?
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you know, the party scene even. I did all kinds of things to try and find myself. And it's exhausting. And you come to a point, I guess, or I came to a point where I was so tired, you know, and nothing worked. And I felt so empty. You know, I was sitting outside of the art building at the University of Hawaii, I remember one day, and they had like these concrete benches, kind of by their, where they displayed artwork. I was sitting there by myself, and I had fought with my mom that day. And I remember I had, told her, I'm never going to be like you. I'm never going to be a Christian. And, I was really upset about that fight. And I remember sitting down on that bench, and then someone came along from, a Christian organization, and they had a track, you know, in their hand, and I was like, oh no.
A little booklet, right?
Yeah, it was a little yellow booklet, I think. And mm-hmm. Anyway, I just was like, oh, please don't come here, you know. And I saw her walking towards me, and I was, oh man, you know, I just wanted to disappear, because I knew what she was going to talk to me about, and I didn't want to talk to her. But she came and she sat right next to me, and she asked me, can I have a few moments to talk to you? And so I said, okay. And she continued to talk to me about Jesus. And I remember she showed me the little pictures in the tract about how we're separated from God by sin. And, you know, and I actually started listening, you know. And I remember at the end of the sharing time, I was actually crying. You know, I could not believe that what she was saying was true, you know, that that Jesus died for my sins, and that he loved me, you know, and he did it because he loved me, and that he wanted to be with me forever. And this is the way, that it would happen, that he had to, God had to sacrifice his son for me. And that was such a powerful message of, just love that I longed for my whole life, and I never, had it until that day. And that was the beginning, you know, that was the day that I realized that God was talking to me, you know. Mm. And that was towards the end of my my college years. And then I had graduated, and I was ready. You know, he talked to me one day when I had lost all hope, and he said, and I was sitting on the stairs, I remember, one morning, and there were butterflies flying in the yard, and they were very beautiful, you know, and I just sat there and I just watched them as I was sitting on this porch. And then I noticed that there were cocoons, you know, chrysalis, next to me on the railing, and they're at different stages. Some were green with the bright gold dots, and some were empty. And it hit me at that point that I can change. I can be reborn. I can be made new again, and like a rebirth, like coming out of that cocoon and flying away from the old life that I had. And it was that, I don't know if it was the next day or a couple, just a short time later, a friend called me and invited me to church, to First Baptist Church of Pearl City. And I said, yes, you know, yes, I want to go. And it happened so quickly. It was just a matter of weeks before I was baptized.
Well, just like how you are describing quite a remarkable process of change. And what's really neat, Wendy, is the reflections that you had, the insights that you had through the process of what was happening in your life. And of course, now looking back, you're able to articulate it so well. But I think part of the reason why the Lord has you here, as I'm listening, is because somebody might be eagerly awaiting their own moment, someone to tell them that they can be a butterfly to be free and mm-hmm. fly away from the past, and that out of that cocoon, you know, a new life can begin.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And as you're saying, just what Jesus did for you, Jesus did for our dear listener today. Mm-hmm. And you know, Wendy's nodding her head. I'm nodding my head. And we're like, yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. His love mm-hmm. is outstretched for you too, our mm-hmm. dear friend.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break right now. But, you know, Wendy talked about the love of her mom's prayers, her mom's faithfulness. And, of course, even through those times when she and her mother had some moments of tension. Mm-hmm. But of course, you know what happened as a result of that, how God worked and moved through it. When we come back from our break, I want to talk with Wendy and let you listen in on a moment that changed in Wendy's life that related to Mom, mm-hmm. even related to Dad. Something happened with Dad and Mom that many can relate with. Perhaps you're even going through it right now with your parents. And God worked and orchestrated something in her life, because He orchestrates stuff in our lives. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year, and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
No. You say, don't come to me. Don't come by me. I don't want you to come by me because it just doesn't look cool. I don't want to talk. I know what you're going to say. I see that booklet in your hand. You're going to open up. You're going to talk to me about God. Well, that's the story of what happened to our guest today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro here with Wendy Oshiro, who as a university student there at the UH was approached by someone who had a yellow booklet in her hand.
No.
And we discussed it during our break. It was somebody from Campus Crusade for Christ, uh-huh, carrying the four spiritual laws. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's the beginning of that presentation. Mm-hmm. But Wendy, you responded in a way that you didn't expect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why was it so emotional for you when that took place?
Well, I know I've never ever had anyone to share with before. That was so intimate. That was so personal to me, and it was something.
And this person is a stranger.
And
right?
She's a stranger, but I felt so comfortable with her, and I felt that she was really listening to me, and that just her manner was very inviting, and I felt like I had to share about my fight with my mom. And I just bawled. I remember I couldn't control myself, and I was partly embarrassed because she's a stranger and I'm crying to her. But at the same time, I felt, just a freedom, a release in getting it out of me, mm-hmm, you know, and it was just life-changing at that point. I knew that I had to change, not my mom, it was me. I had to, there was something that I was missing, you know. I knew it was Jesus, and I needed to find out more. So that was the beginning.
The beginning of your relationship with Christ. Mm-hmm. There, you baptized at Pearl City, mm-hmm, Baptist Church. You graduated, you were a math major, mm-hmm, math teacher. Mililani High School, then Hawaii Baptist Academy. Did you love teaching?
I enjoyed it.
What was it that you enjoyed about teaching?
I love working with kids. And, I never thought I would because of how I was when I was in high school. I thought, I don't want to work with kids like me. But someone at UH suggested to me after 3.5 years of me being in engineering, I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do. And so I was brainstorming with a friend, and she said, I think you'd be really good with kids. And I'd be like, no way. I don't want to work with kids, you know. But as I explored other possible careers, I thought, okay, education, maybe, because maybe I have something to offer because of how I was, you know. And it turns out that, especially like in Mililani High School, The time that I was there, I had a gang. I can't remember if it was the Bloods or the Crips that hung out in front of my room. And it was quite a scene every day. It was very noisy, and it was draining because of the things I had to endure. There were a lot of fights and things too. And, you know, as a teacher, you're required to get in there and break it up and at least they stop, you know. Mm-hmm. But those kids would come into my room and hang out and talk story. And I developed a relationship with some of them. And, you know, I tried to share with them about Jesus. And so I looked at teaching as an opportunity to get to kids like me and to show them that there's a different way, you know, and that was my motivation. I love teaching math. You know, math comes naturally to me. I think I can make it easy for the kids to understand. But beneath that is a greater cause for me, and it's to serve the Lord by sharing with kids about who He is.
And you did that there. I'm, you know, just to think, that's a real sign of God's grace on you, and that you're in the sweet spot of your life. I mean, you talk about gangs, and then they're coming in to your classroom, and you're, you know, being able to connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly do have that grace that the Lord has given in relating and enjoying. For some people, you know, being with kids could be draining to them. And but for others, it energizes them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it seems to bring a vibrancy, a vivacity to your being.
Mm-hmm.
So to be teaching for 16 years, teaching math,
mm-hmm.
you're not teaching math anymore. So obviously, you're in the business world, in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened in between to trigger
mm-hmm.
that transition. What happened?
Well, you know, I remember my dad, he always used to tell me, you know, Wendy, I have everything planned out. You know, if I were to pass away, you know, I have my life insurance, I have this and that, your mom would be taken care of. And so in the meantime, though, he said, you know, he had all his retirement planned out too, about golfing. He went to golf like 3 or 4 times a week and, you know, this and that. And I really thought that he was healthy because he used to go to the spa and work out several times a week, and he was active in his golf club and the Okinawan club, and you know, I thought he was healthy. So whenever he told me, you know, Wendy, let's go over this policy so that you know what to do later, I said, Dad, maybe when you're in your 80s, you know, and because he was in his early 70s. But one day he went to the doctor, to the eye doctor. At Straub Clinic. He was waiting in the waiting room for his appointment, and someone approached the receptionist desk and said, something's wrong with that man. He's drooling, and he doesn't look well, you know. And they went to see him, and he had suffered a stroke while he was waiting for his appointment. And since they were at Straub Hospital, they immediately wheeled him down to emergency, but I guess it wasn't soon enough because he suffered a stroke, and so he was paralyzed down his entire left side of his body, you know. And immediately, that was the last day he saw his house. You know, he had left the home, you know, had done the yard work, and he intended to come back and finish, but he never came home, you know. So his world was turned upside down, and so was ours. You know, I have two siblings here locally, and my mom, and we just didn't know what to do. We never prepared for that. And it was just such a life-changing event for all of us, you know. And but you know, God is good, and my dad didn't know Jesus. And I remember when I first came to know the Lord, I was excited to share with him, and I made an appointment with him, and I told him, you know, Dad, at 6 o'clock, can I meet with you and talk story a little bit about something that's really important to me? And, you know, I had to make an appointment because at 6 o'clock, he's sitting in front of the TV with his beer and peanuts. He's unwinding after work, and he's watching TV, and I didn't want to, you know, disturb him abruptly. So I made an appointment with him.
Make sure he's prepared. Huh?
Exactly. So the day came and I shared with him, and he said, you know, Wendy, I understand, you know, that it's important to you, but this is not for me. He said, I know other people, you know, from other religions that are more compassionate than Christians. He said, that Christianity is not for me. And it broke my heart, and I just cried. And I that was another time I couldn't stop crying. And, you know, I just cried uncontrollably because I felt so sad and hurt, and that I did something wrong. Like, I didn't explain it right. Mm. You know, that's what I was thinking. And I prayed to the Lord and, you know, just, oh God, please help me to convey to him your love for him so that he can make the right decision, you know? And I tried for about 2 years, and every time it just ended in heartbreak for me. And after a while, it was so draining. And I said, oh, I don't know if I can do this anymore. You know, it's just really, really hard to keep being rejected. You know, he was rejecting Christ, but rejecting me too, because it just, you know, it just meant so much for me to bring him to the Lord. And, I finally, my sister is also, you know, a believer, and she was praying for my dad too. And I said, you know, well, can you keep praying? Cause I'm tired. I said, I cannot do this already. It's just really, really hard. And, you know, Darren was with me some of the times that we tried to share, and it just ended up in kind of a disaster, you know. But she continued to faithfully pray, and I prayed here and there, but it was really, really hard for me. But when he had his stroke, he had lost his independence. You know, he was kind of a proud guy. You know, he liked to do things on his own, and but here he was lying in the bed. He had that bedpan, and you know, everyone was checking on, and the nurses were checking in on him every, you know, 15 minutes in the beginning, and he didn't have any privacy, and it continued that way because he was paralyzed. And that night, I remember when I visited him in the hospital, the night he had his stroke, it was kind of a neat thing, but everybody cleared out, and it was just me and him for a moment, and I said, hey, Dad, you know, you want to talk about Jesus? And then he looked at me, and he said, yeah, I do. And I that night I wasn't ready, you know. I said, Dad, I'll come back, you know, I'll come back and talk to you about it. So Sunday I came back, and again, nobody was in the room except me and him, you know, which was kind of strange because people were visiting, and then the room just cleared out. So I talked to him about the Lord, and I also had him, you know, recognize about sin and how that separates us from God, and how we need to, you know, confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And, you know, and so I went through that whole thing with him, and he was listening, you know. It was such a different experience. He was listening to me this time, and he was crying too. And we prayed together, and it was just the most wonderful thing ever. I was so, so filled with joy and thankfulness that the Lord had allowed me to, you know, to do that with my dad. It was just awesome. And, it's kind of funny too, because after that, I shared with my sister. I said, Rhonda, you know, dad gave him his life to the Lord. And she was like, are you sure? You know, because my dad is so gruff. And so, you know, she couldn't believe it. And I said, yeah, no, really. And you know, I shared with her about what happened, and, you know, we were celebrating. That was just the best thing ever. It was wonderful.
So through having a stroke, the Lord opened Dad's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you and your sister, you were praying and trying to share with him. Mm-hmm. But this is the moment.
Yeah.
But it was, I gather that it was abrupt when you, mm-hmm. you say there was the last time that he saw mm-hmm. his home.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to find out more about the details of why, you know, did he go home? Did he not go home? And then what happened in its impact on your life personally, mm-hmm. as a teacher, as a mother, mm-hmm. as a wife? I guess part of the reason why it's so important to discuss these things is because people go through that all the time,
mm-hmm.
And you just never know. And lives change. When we come back from our break, Wendy, let's go deeper with that, because not only was it your father, but at some point, very closely related, something happened to mom, mm-hmm. too. And boy, if one isn't a rough jolt of life, imagine both parents in a time frame that accelerates and enlarges the impact. Well, Wendy Oshiro is here. She's talking heart to heart with us. Hey, there's no other way, is there? Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's neat to see somebody navigate change, and in hindsight, you look back and you go, wow, they did it so well. How masterful. The way that they went through that process in life. The only thing about that is, when change comes, quite often, you can't really prepare for it when it happens. And this is the case with our guest today, and she's here to explain how her parents, in their growing in age and the conditional changes of their lives, how it impacted her. She was just sharing with us about her father suffering a stroke and what happened. And that's the story of Wendy Oshiro. She's here today. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show. I'm Danny Yamashiro, and I'm grateful that you're with us today, because perhaps you are experiencing times where you have to make certain decisions. And perhaps the Lord has brought us together at this very moment to encourage you, to maybe inspire you, maybe to give you some practical insights and tools of what to do and how to move about in this next season of your life. Wendy, so Dad has an abrupt change.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to make decisions in mm-hmm. your life. What did you do at that point to cope with the situation?
Well, I'm so thankful that I had my brother and my sister with me. You know, it was new for all of us. We were facing something that we had never prepared for. And just having the comfort of and support of each other, I think, was just so helpful. You know, I can't imagine anybody doing this without that love and support. You know, it's just emotionally draining. It's confusing, too. You have to make choices where you don't really know what your resources are, what your options are.
What kind of choices?
Well, in my father's case, he had me as his power of attorney and his trustee. So I had to make decisions regarding his finances and even his healthcare. I had to make decisions according to what he had entrusted me with. And it was stressful because this is something that affects the quality of life of another person, you know, and then the resources too. And I had no idea how expensive it was going to be. I heard about the cost of long-term care, but I never really looked into it because I wasn't planning on it, you know. But it was just really difficult to navigate. But there were good people that were helping us, even like social worker from the hospital helped us place my dad in a care home and helped us with the paperwork and things. But, you know, we thought we were getting everything together and we thought we were doing okay. And then 1 year later, almost to the day, I believe, that my dad had a stroke, then my mom had an aneurysm. Hmm. And, you know, she had, I guess, had an aneurysm and we didn't know about it until a couple of days later when we found her at home and she was, you know, she obviously had been in the same clothes for a couple of days because we had seen her in the same outfit just a few days before. And she was disoriented and she was like a totally different person. And
now, was your dad at a care home?
So he was still in he was in a care home at that time. And in fact, he was the one that alerted my sister that something must be wrong with mom because she didn't pick me up for my appointment. Can you go check on her? So she did. She went to check and, you know, that's when she found that something was wrong. And my mom refused to go to the hospital. But, you know, obviously something had happened to her because her personality was totally different. She's very combative and yelling at my sister, "What are you doing here?" She's not like that. She's very, a very loving and happy, gentle person. So for her to be talking to my sister like that, we knew, you know, something was wrong. So what my sister had to do was schedule an appointment. That's the only way my mom would go. You schedule an appointment with my doctor and then I'll go. And so when we got her to the hospital, that's when they did the scans and they found out that she had an aneurysm. And that day that she went to the hospital for that checkup, she never went home either. That was the last time she saw her house. And that's because we had to make a decision regarding her treatment. It was do nothing, and maybe there was a 50% chance that she would bleed some more, and you know that would be it. You know, it would be fatal, or we could clot the bleeding with a procedure that would likely give her strokes in the process, mm-hmm. you know? So it was a really tough decision. It was, you know, what do you do? You know, and I was really, really stressed out. And I remember being in school and, you know, just not able to function with my kids because I kept thinking about my mom. What am I going to do? They need a decision. You know, and when it was in the morning, I ended up leaving school and having to just really, you know, pray about it. And so we decided to go with the procedure that would clot the bleeding. And sure enough, she had several mini strokes during the process. And she also lost her independence after that. So both of my parents had lost their independence within a year from each other. And we were in a panic again. You know, what do we do now? You know, we already knew from my dad's situation that we knew to expect that it was going to cost a lot of money too. And we're trying to think, well, we want to put them in the best place possible. But how are we going to afford this? You know, so there's so many things that were running through our heads. Like, what do we do? What do we do about their living situation? How do we make sure they get the best care? And, you know, just tons of questions. It was really, really stressful.
So how did you go about working through that in the decisions that you made for their future?
It actually, you know, when I think about it, it's kind of a blur, but I know the people at the facilities that they were at. So like in my mom's case, she was at Straub, and then she went to the Rehab Hospital of the Pacific. So they have people there that assist families with these types of decisions, like the next steps.
Counseling.
Yeah, I guess social workers, and they help with placement, you know, if the loved one needs, you know, to go to a nursing facility, they help with the placement there.
So how did you go from being a teacher? I know you're in turmoil mm-hmm. at this particular time. Mm-hmm. How did you make a decision to transition from teaching to the corporate world? How did that take place?
Actually, the decision for me to leave my teaching position at HBA, it wasn't actually my decision. I kind of was unable to function anymore, and I knew that you know, I can't be here in the classroom and benefit the kids if I'm an emotional wreck. You mm-hmm. know, it's time to go. So my mom had her stroke in July, and by December I knew I had to leave. I had to resign because I could not take care of both of them, you know, their affairs and function, and take care of 100 kids at school. So that's when I left, and I didn't have a job to back me up. So, you know, my husband was totally supportive. He knew that I needed the break, and we both had the faith that the Lord would provide. You know, we knew that He would, but we just didn't know what it was. And so for 3 months, I really didn't have a job. And then, but during that time, I had learned a lot about long-term care, about aging issues. And I thought, wow, this is a whole new world that I never even thought of before. And I thought, you know, I would love to help people who have aging loved ones, or even seniors themselves. I would love to do something to help them. So I actually did kind of look around at different types of career opportunities, but nothing really came out at me. But one of my former students, he had found out that, oh, Mrs. Oshiro isn't teaching anymore. You know, so he told his mom, and his mom knew that one of the local banks was starting a reverse mortgage loan center, and that an educator would be a good person to have on board to teach the public about reverse mortgages. And so I looked into it, and I really thought I was going into a position of being an educator. That's what I thought. I thought that I would be educating the public. That would be my primary job. And then when I got there, I accepted the job, and when I got there, I found out it was a sales position. So that's another story. But, you know, God is good, and he knew that I'm not a seller, and I don't sell anything very well. I don't sell chili tickets or, you know, cookies. We end up buying them all. But he put me in a position where my job would be actually defined for me, because people don't know what their options are when they're in situations like, you know, how do you fund long-term care so that, you know, your loved one can stay in the house? What are your options? You know, people are asking questions, and it just turned out that because people want to know, I'm here to be able to share with them. So the emphasis became more on education because of the demand for education than it did on selling.
And the need for that education coming from a very visceral place within you, because you yourself mm-hmm. have gone through it mm-hmm. and have had those same questions and have needed to have those right. those questions answered. Well, let's talk about that. What are some questions that people ask, and what are some of those answers? Just generally speaking, when we come back from our break, as you have had to work some things out yourself in this process of transition, and in that transition now in the corporate world, you mentioned reverse mortgages, you mentioned business. How have you been able to help other families going through the similar situation that you have? I'm talking with Wendy Oshiro, I'm going to throw out her number right now, 808-753-9819. That's 753-9819. That's Wendy Oshiro. We're going to come back. She's going to talk to us about some important factors, important things to know, and the possible options and things that can be done. Wendy Oshiro, stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Ever wish that you did something differently than what you did? If you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? Would you have slowed down a little bit? Would you have asked other kinds of questions? Would it have impacted what decision you made? Well, that's what Wendy Oshiro is here to talk to us about, in some decisions that she made and some thoughts that she perhaps would do differently, but it certainly would benefit you and me and many, many who are listening as we spend this time together. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To find out more about this show, and I think this is one that you would want to maybe listen to again and even pass on to a friend or family member, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com to get this program in its entirety. And let me just give you Wendy Oshiro's phone number one more time, and then, you know, in case you need to get in touch with her, call her at 808-753-9819. That's 753-9819. Talking about wishing things were done differently. Do you ever feel like that, Wendy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, after my mom had her stroke and we had to try and figure out, you know, what we were going to do about their living situation, my dad had expressed to me that he wanted to go home. And, you know, I was in a panic and I thought, man, how are we going to, it costs money, you know, and dad, you're paralyzed. How are we going to, you know, you have like 13 stairs to go up before you get to the living area. And he's like, well, can you get me a elevator, maybe a lift, you know? And I was like, oh, we can't afford it, dad, you know, cause I was taking care of the finances And I just was looking at the numbers and I thought, oh, there's no way we can sustain care in the home with what he had, you know, in the bank. And you know, a friend had talked to me about reverse mortgages, and I said, oh, I don't want to do a reverse mortgage. I don't want a debt, you know, on the house to have to take care of. And I was actually being very selfish. I didn't want to have to deal with a mortgage. So I didn't even want to hear about it. And I said no, you know. And she even sent someone to the house to talk to me about it. And I ended up, they came for nothing because I refused to listen. And, you know, as a teacher, I always would teach my students about their options, you know. But even for problem solving, what kinds of different tools do you have available to attack the problem? Which one is the best? And, you know, you have to learn about every tool in order to decide which one is the best. And so I had failed at that point because I refused to listen to what my options were. And, you know, my dad wanted to go home. I took away that one option that could keep him in the house, which was the reverse mortgage, you know. And I had felt very badly after I had sold their house. By the time January came around, after my mom had her stroke, I ended up selling their house because I was just looking at the numbers. I thought, man, you know, to pay for this, I need money. So I'm going to sell their house. I sold the very thing that my dad wanted to keep. And, you know, it was just really sad that I had handled it that way. You know, and by God's grace, I know he's forgiven me for that. But I just think if I had done what I teach other people to do, you know, maybe my dad would have had his last few years to enjoy in his home. But I took that away because I refused to find out what the options were. So, you know, I just think that now looking back, it's so important for, you know, families as they're maybe in this position and have to make decisions for their loved ones to really keep in mind, you know, what is the best thing for that loved one, and make decisions that take into account, you know, how is it going to affect their quality of life? How is it going to impact, you know, them socially? You know, sometimes they need to be in a place where they have that stimulation and encouragement from other people. And, you know, if you have to listen to them, what are their needs? What is the best thing for that loved one? And then make decisions or look at your options from that perspective instead of, oh, you know, we want to keep the house free and clear, or, you know, we want our inheritance. Because I do actually meet with people who are thinking just about what they can get at the end, you know. And sometimes our perspectives need a little bit of adjusting, you know. Mm-hmm. We're so used to thinking, oh, you know, I'm going to get the house later on or whatever. But, you know, but you need to think about what the needs are, you know, for your parents, and address those needs instead of, you know, maybe focusing on the more selfish aspects of the decision making, you know. But that would be my recommendation. It's just look at your options and look at how each option can impact that person.
We pause just for a moment to let the words settle in. It does have a profound impact when we talk about our own situations, our own desires, our own needs, and that of an aging loved one, aging parent. Sometimes we need to know what our options are. We have a choice whether we want to live in the not knowing, or we could just call it just live in ignorance, and make some decisions that we think are okay, but it's done in a real thin silo. Mm-hmm. And it's not broad enough for us to be able to choose. And sometimes there are potential variations of how things can be worked out. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we need to talk to a professional, someone that knows the different options and how to facet them so that they can fit together. So Wendy is here. She shares her story about her. I mean, in some ways, you can feel the tug of what she's been through. But God, in his redemptive way, is using that to bring hope and guidance and strength and quality of life, you know, for other parents and for other children. to contact Wendy, call her at 808-753-9819. That's 753-9819. You might have some questions you want to ask her, some things you might want to discuss. Maybe there's some other ways that she will be able to help you. But when you make a call like that to someone like her, you know that, you know, your best interest is in store, that and your loved ones, and that she's coming at it from a standpoint of experience in a very personal way, and yet the technical knowledge to be able to help work through and navigate through seasons of significant change like this in your life. Again, Wendy Oshiro, 753-9819. Wendy, we have, just about a minute left. Maybe a parting shot to someone who's in your situation. What would you say to them as a way of encouragement?
The Lord is good, and He is actually your first resource, I would say. Not even me or, you know, any agencies out there. I think the Lord is the one that you need to talk to first. And God is so good. He'll provide you with what you need. He'll provide you the resources. And, you know, like I shared in my story, I know I made a few mistakes here and there, but God's grace, He covered all of that. And you know, I can see how God moved through even my not so good decisions. Mm. But, you know, He is the one that we couldn't have done it without. And you have to include Him in everything. And He is listening. And He is always there, and He will help you. He will always help you.
Wendy, that is such an uplifting word to close our show. And I want to thank you, Wendy, for taking the time from your schedule, out of your schedule, to be here with us to share in the way that you have. Wendy Oshiro is the branch manager of Open Mortgage LLC in Honolulu. That's Open Mortgage LLC. And to contact Wendy, 808-753-9819, 753-9819. Again, Wendy, thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
I hope that you've been, I hope that you've been inspired by this heart-to-heart sharing that Wendy Oshiro has passed on to us. It's so poignant with the life the life patterns that people go through, that all of us at some point will have to go through in our lives, and to know that there are people like her to be able to give guidance and direction. And she's pointing us to the Lord first. You know, God's timing is perfect, and there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ, like Wendy has today, with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, like we said at the beginning of our show, this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you're facing, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. And perhaps you want to stand with us financially and make a donation to the ministry, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Jesus says in Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes?" It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Wendy Oshiro. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz On Time, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.